silence. Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, first things first. For those of you who don't know, on Sunday night, I was playing basketball right there where Ron's sitting, and I tore my Achilles tendon straight through just dribbling a basketball. So the doctor said no surgery, which is nice. It's close enough. It'll heal. And I have to be in a cast for 2 weeks and then a soft cast for 2 weeks and then a boot and slowly regain strength. That's what the orthopedic surgeon said. So no basketball for a while. Not anything fast for quite a while. So that's what happened to me this past week. But what else did I see happen? I also saw the body of Christ stand up when I had to lie down. A few guys helped me off the court, and some more helped drive me home that first night. I've been offered at least 7 pairs of crutches. Someone else lent me their sweet knee scooter, so I'll be going around in that. Mandy, my wife, has been amazing, and now what seems like she has to juggle 5 small children in the home. And Pastor Neundorf has helped out a little extra. He was at the service last night and at 8 o'clock, and he'll be at 10:45 later today helping me out up and down those stairs of the chancel. It's a little tougher, so thank you for helping that. You, who have known about this for a few days, you've prayed for me. You've offered other ways to help. I don't know if you've seen it yourself or experienced yourself, but this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's what Jesus' church, the body of Christ, lives to do. We love because he first loved us. And we love him because of his sacrificial death and resurrection for us, as we have a need because of our sin to be forgiven and saved by him. We love him as we see him providing for us in so many different ways. And one of the ways that we see that is through the love of others as God works it through them to us. And we live out that love because, transformed by Jesus' love, we can't fathom any other way of living. At least that's the idea that Paul is trying to present here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as he's talking about love. Last time I preached, we talked about a genealogy in the Gospel of Luke, a fairly obscure section to preach on. And this week, I feel like I'm doing a 180, not literally. Can't do any 180s right now. But I feel like I'm doing this biblical 180, looking at a section of the Bible that's almost a Christian cliche. It's like pop Christianity when you hear 1 Corinthians 13. It's common enough that you may be able to quote some of these verses yourself as it was read. A few weeks ago, I said I was guilty of sometimes skipping over those genealogy sections because they can be laborious trying to read through all those names. Well, 1 Corinthians 13 might be on the other side so common that it's a section that gets breezed past as we read it. We kind of come at it with an "I know that already" attitude, like a child says after you remind him to do something for the 100th time, and then the parental response is, "Well, if you know it, then do it," right? That's what we desire for our children. The same applies here. If you know that you're supposed to love the way that Paul describes it in this love chapter of the Bible, then do it. But we don't. Not perfectly. I know I don't. And even though we don't, we have high expectations for our love. We desire this type of love. We like to think that we have this type of love. This passage is often read at weddings. Maybe you've heard it read at a wedding. Maybe you've had it read at your own wedding. And as it's read in a wedding, it's a prayer that this love will be the type of love that is shown, especially between these two people that God is joining together. But Paul describes a love here in this chapter that is much deeper than just an emotional connection with another person, that type of love that we may think of on the surface on a wedding day. Because this type of love is at the root of our relationships with others. It is completely self-giving, always thinking of the other first, filled with words and actions that are there to build the other person up and help them out in all things. And this love seeks to forgive with Jesus' forgiveness so that relationships then are made stronger. But we don't always live this way with other people. Our sin and our sinfulness corrupt love. Couples who have this passage read at their wedding still get divorced. Relationships are still broken through abuse. We read this in church, but members of the body of Christ can still find it difficult to forgive one another. People can come through these doors and then leave the same way, feeling neglected or abandoned by the body of Christ. This is the problem that Paul's writing about and he's addressing here. Yes, we are Christians, but it is hard to follow Jesus. We can listen to what Jesus has to say, but it's a lot harder to actually live that way. And Paul's writing to a Corinthian church whose tendency was to act like they didn't need others. At least they looked down on some of the people around them, and this broke the unity of their church. The problem was self-serving behavior. That's what he's calling out, and self-serving behavior. I can't think of a greater thing that I struggle with against sin in my own life than self-serving behavior. And we all behave this way because that's what sin is. It's our selfish pride coming out of us and reacting to the world in that way. And it's that thinking that I'm number one and I matter more to me than you do to me. So why should I inconvenience myself for you? And we treat God this way too. In what we say and what we think and what we desire, we try to use those things then to interpret his word first instead of having his word inform our thoughts and our actions and our desires. It's a lot easier to follow the things Jesus says that make us comfortable. But when Jesus messes with our comfort, that's another story. Jesus often calls out misplaced love and our misuse of love. Because what are we tempted to love? And who are we inclined to love? Well, we love our friends. And we love praise from others. We love wealth and prosperity. We love our family. We can love our hidden sins that we're not willing to reject. We love our own lives. And what does Jesus say? He speaks against just loving your neighbors, but at the same time hating your enemies. He speaks against the love of attention and honor. He calls out the love of money, calling it another master that we serve instead of God. And Paul follows this up by saying that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Jesus speaks against loving father and mother, son and daughter more than him. He calls us out for loving the darkness instead of the light. And he says, whoever loves his life will lose it. So he calls us to a more excellent way. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another just as I have loved you. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This self-sacrificial, fully self-giving love is the love that is hard to live because we would much rather live for ourselves. That's the easy road. That's the comfortable path. The type of self-denying love that Jesus describes is hard. Probably because it is the type of love that is the most foreign to us. It's not a love that kind of gives us goosebumps and fills our stomach with butterflies. It's not a love that's internal or emotional. It's not about what I'm going to get out of it. And it's not always going to give us a good feeling. Sometimes love is hard because it puts us out. It decreases our comfort. It takes time and energy and resources, and it doesn't look for anything in return. You're not always going to love this type of love. But this is godly love. This is the type of love that God shows us. And when we live in this godly love, then our lives are the ones that do a 180. We stop living for ourselves. Instead, we participate in this type of love that Paul is talking about that is active and righteous and lives for the good of someone else around us, living for the body of Christ, living to work in the kingdom of God in any way that he is calling us to. This is what true life together, life as a body of Christ, looks like as we love, as we're generous in love toward one another. It's godly love that is rooted in life living dependent on the rest, saying, I'm not an island. I can't do this on my own. I need others around me that God is placing around me. And it also sees others as people for whom God is calling us to serve. This godly love sees generosity toward others as its primary endeavor. We reject loving only some, or loving honor, or loving money, or loving sin, or loving our own lives, or comfort, loving anything that isn't in line with first loving God and his word. So what does it look like? This love embraces taking time out to help someone in need. The way that I saw some of you helping me this week when I had a need. And I know that time is a finite commodity. There isn't a ton to go around, and I have felt like a burden, a time burden, in so many ways just since last Sunday. But in love, love doesn't see another person's need that way. It doesn't see it as a burden, but a joy, an opportunity, a place, an ability to serve. Love desires to give the gift of time and service and an encouragement because another has a need. What else does love look like? This love uses talents and abilities that God has given to us and puts them into service for others. And that's the image that Paul is giving here. He's talking about the body of Christ. A key part of this image is that each part can do something different, and the whole body can't function without the gifts of the individual parts. And so you, as an individual member of the body of Christ, are given unique gifts that others don't have, and they may envy, and they may be jealous of you just as you envy and are jealous of them and the gifts that they have. But Jesus has given you, an individual member of this body, unique gifts. And your unique gifts are essential in helping the rest of the body. And then you know you as an individual can't do it all. And that's the way God set it up, so that we all serve using our unique talents that build up the body together. And this love of Christ also looks, we also see it in the way that we give generously of the resources that God has given to us so that we can use them to serve others. Our money and our possessions are things that can so often be self-serving. And instead, love in Christ's name treats money as it is. It's a gift from the Father to be used to support our body and life, and then provide for the needs of the rest of the body of Christ as we share what we have so that others can have it in their need, like 7 pairs of crutches. And if you want to see where love truly messes with self and comfort, this is probably the place where our sinful heels dig in the most. We love to keep what we have instead of sacrificially offering up here in worship as God uses it in his kingdom in so many different ways through St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We love to keep what we have instead of providing for the needs of others who have less, who have nothing. And so we see this idea of love that understands godly love that comes with open hands. All we have is God's. It's his anyway, to be used by him. So we gladly take a portion of what we have, and God has given us 10% as a good starting point to return to him from what he has given to us. And then we ask God to use it to proclaim the name of Jesus and to help others in their needs. This is the calling of our life together. Filled with godly love that shows itself through generosity toward the body of Christ around us. Love that is generous with time, generous with abilities and talents, generous with money and possessions. And love like this will reduce your comfort, and it will leave less for you. Love like this is hard. But we also know that love like this will reflect and point to the love of Jesus, because he shows us a more excellent way. He wants us to know that you, the body of Christ, are loved by him. Jesus' entire life and work, his death and resurrection, they all embodied love, that deep, passionate love for you that is fully self-giving and fully self-serving. God himself is love, and that perfect love poured out on us. And his desire is that we would love him and love others the way that Paul has described it here in 1 Corinthians 13. But his greater desire is this, that we would know that his love is the fulfillment of this type of love in us. His is a love that supports without limits. His is a love that is faithful without limits. His is a love that hopes without limits. His is a love that never gives up. His love is permanent. It lasts today and it goes forward and lasts into the age to come. And the things that we value in this life today, those things that we like to hold on to that are so hard for us to give up, as this age passes away, all those things also will pass away. Because God is completing all things in love. Through his love for us, his perfect love for the body of Christ. This is who you are. one who is loved by God. And the love that you show and share, while not always easy, always selfless, points to a future age that God brings to us. And it proclaims Jesus Christ, the one who embodies love. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we sing in response to God's word.